Seriously, what a joy to be with you this morning. I am not feeling my best, so your prayers would be appreciated. I've got some kind of a bug, so just pray for me. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. But this morning's message is titled, "And Then I Remember." And then I remember, I have you. That's how it's supposed to sound in your notes. And then I remember, I have you. The emphasis is on the you. And then I remember, I have you. Obviously, the implication of the title is, so what am I worried about? Why am I stressing? All right. Why am I fretting? All right. Then I remember, I have you. What can man do to me? If you are for me, who can be against me? If you are with me, what is too daunting? Aren't you the one who said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh? Is anything too difficult for me? Oh, I wander about and I lose my way and I encounter things that are too big for me. And as it says in Psalm 139, I get tangled up in things that are too complicated, too big, too complex for me. But hallelujah, because I have your Holy Spirit, I am reminded. And then I remember, I have you. Hallelujah. I could just keep on talking about that, but I want to turn to the text. So we can flesh this out a little bit. Our text is in John chapter 11. So turn there, and I will read, and I'd like you to follow along. John chapter 11. Amen. And this is just a wonderful story, a wonderful account. So I'm just going to read it. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Quite a contrast, isn't it? He loved him. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. Yet when he heard he was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Didn't say he got up and hurried to his bedside, which is what you might expect. When you love someone, you respond immediately to their needs. You race off to do whatever you can to help to relieve their suffering or to prevent catastrophe. But it says he stayed. Then in verse 7, then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said, and he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man and have kept this man from dying? Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. 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 You can be dismissed. Yeah. There's not a whole lot more to add to that, this is a wonderful account I do not say story. This is a wonderful account, a marvelous episode in the journey of Jesus Christ when he walked on earth. This is an event that actually happened. People actually witnessed and marveled at. And it has been passed down to us so that we might believe. You see, there's so many things that we could extract from this passage. As I was looking at it and reading it, I was thinking, there are so many ways you could go with this. And I'm not going to go all those ways. But here's a sample of where you could go. You could go to the place of looking at the special relationships that Jesus had. That Jesus loved everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But he had special relationships. Lazarus, he said to the disciples, our friend Lazarus has died. It mentions several times in the passage that he loved Lazarus. There was a special bond. There was a fellowship that they enjoyed together in much the same way that you and I enjoy fellowship with one another. That there was a spark. There was some joy. There was some something going on there with Lazarus and Mary and Martha and Jesus. There was a bond. We could go there, but we're not. We could also go to verse 15 where he said, that you may believe. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you might believe. And later on he said, listen, this is just for the people around it so they will believe. I know you always hear me, but so that they might believe. We could go to the place that everything that God does, everything that he doesn't, everything he allows, everything he disallows is to one end, to help us to believe. Whether he comes, whether he delays, whether he does or doesn't, whether he grants or whether he denies, it is all intended to help us to believe. Not for an ego trip on his part, but so that our security would be grounded in that which cannot be shaken. So when he says that you might believe, it's not so, you know, like some test or something where he just wants to, you know, ego trip. No. To the degree that we believe, to that degree, we are secure. So it's for our benefit. Belief is for our benefit. We could go there, but we're not. And also, we could go to the place here where when Jesus came to the tomb, he just prayed a very brief prayer. Thank you, Father, that you hear me. I know you always hear me. He didn't pray some rousing prayer before he turned his attention to raising the dead. It's very brief. It goes back to what is in your bulletin from this week's View from My Place about brevity and how it's not always necessary to spend extended time with God in prayer in order to have an effective time with prayer. Because Jesus' prayer here was quite brief. Father, thank you that you hear me. Lazarus, come out. It was his connection, his ongoing connection with his Father that really was the strength upon which he called to bring Lazarus forth. The prayer was just an expression of the depth of that relationship. And so it is with us. That it's not always necessary to spend a whole bunch of time praying. It's the consistency of that time. It's the intensity. It's the sincerity of that time that is more important. But we're not going to go there either. Where I really want to focus and what I want our primary attention to be on is verses 41 and 42. It says, they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. You always hear me. we can celebrate today, brothers and sisters, you and I in this room. We can celebrate today that by faith, God has granted each one of us the privilege to also enjoy this confident inner assurance. Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I knew you always hear me. Thank you that you hear me. And I knew you always hear me. God has granted each one of us, brothers and sisters, that we might be privileged to have this same confident inner assurance. Lord, thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you always hear me. You always hear me because you are always with me. The night that I came to know Christ, those were essentially the words that I used. God, I know you see me. And I know you hear me. And from that day forth, I have drawn upon and continue to look to him to reassure me that he always hears me and he always will hear me because he is always with me. So if you are taking notes this morning, here is the main idea from John 11. The most important thing to remember about being a Christian, the most important thing to remember about being a Christian is the one who is with you. The most important thing to remember about being a Christian is the one who is with you. You know, you start thinking about all there is to know about the Bible and all there is to know about how to do the Christian life. You start thinking about all the books that are written on how to be a better husband, how to be a better father, how to be a better spouse, and how to be a better employee, or how to be a better neighbor, or how to just be a better Christian. And all of those things are extremely helpful. We had a wonderful time at our couples group yesterday, learning about what is love and what is respect and how those things relate in a marriage. Very, very helpful. Amen for those who were there?
Amen.
And boy, did we have a good time talking about it. And we expect that as we go through that book that we will learn many things that are going to help us to improve our marriages and all of our relationships, really. But there is something to remember that is even more important than how to do marriage. There is something that is more important to remember than how to do work better or how to do anything better as a Christian. The most important thing to remember is the one who is with you. Because it's not our strength. It's not our wisdom. It's not our discipline. It's not how clever we are. It's not our love. We just need to remember who's with us. And so Jesus called Mary and Martha's attention to him. I am the resurrection and the light. Look at me. Mary, Martha, look at me. Remember who I am. Remember who I am. This is the most important thing for you to remember. Do you know who I am? When you're looking around at all of it, do you remember who I am? This is what he's saying. Yeah, it's a mess. And yeah, you're hurting. And yeah, you're confused about why I didn't show up. I know. And I care. But do you know who's with you? Do you know who I am? That'll change your world, sister. That'll change you where you stand. I tell the Lord, Lord, the best part about every day, the best part about every day, when I get up in the morning, the best part about every day, after my eyes have popped open, the best part about every day, I get to walk through it with you. I get to experience today with you. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know whether the traffic's, all the lights are going to be green or all of them going to be red. I don't know what's going to unfold today. But the best part about today is that I get to live it with your presence with me. Every day. And the thing is, I don't have to invite your presence into my day. You're there. I don't have to invite your presence. I just need to be made aware of it, Lord. So open my eyes. It's not about you coming. It's about me seeing that you're there. So as you think about, the most important thing to remember about being a Christian is the one who is with you. Here are some points that I want you to focus on. One is, the one who is with you is the one we must seek to please. The one who is with you is the one we must seek to please. See, in verse 21, they said, Lord, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened, they said to Jesus. In verse 37, the crowd got into it. Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? They had no idea what God's plan was with Jesus. See, Jesus knew what God was up to, but they didn't know. And so Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you'd been here, then we wouldn't have had this mess, essentially. If you had showed up, our brother wouldn't have died. The crowd said, well, wait a minute. This guy, he could open the eyes of the blind. Why couldn't he be timely enough and powerful enough to stop this tragedy? But see, Jesus was focused. He was focused on pleasing the one who had sent him. That's instructive for us. When we realize and we remember the one who is with us, then our attention is on pleasing and responding to him, even when other people don't understand it. Even when other people, it doesn't make sense to them. And some of the decisions that we make in accordance with God's will working in us and his presence with us are not going to always make sense to other people. They're not going to always understand it. But when we remember who is with us, our heart's desire is to be pleasing to him, to be in sync with him, to be connected with him, to be responsive to him. So the one who is with you is the one we must seek to please. You can't please everybody. So focus on pleasing the one who's always going to be with you. Laverne and I were sitting at breakfast, and we were talking about just marveling, really, over what it was going to be like to be in heaven. It was one of those little moments that you can't construct. It just sort of happened. Sitting there eating breakfast, and I think it was the day we had the big snow, and you know, snow was falling out the window, and I said, nothing like a warm breakfast with warm family and a hot wife. So we're sitting there and we're talking about what heaven's going to be like. And it was just delightful thinking about, you know, there are going to be tastes that we've never tasted before. You know, it may be an apple, but it's going to be a different taste. You know, so when I was in Africa, I had a mango. And I never had a mango like that mango before or since. I mean, our host went out in the backyard and just picked the mango and brought it in, and we had it for breakfast. And that thing was so good, they had to pull me off of them. I'd had mango before, but not like that, you see. So there will be things that we experience in heaven that are familiar, but not like that. The air might be, boy, this is a different kind of air. I mean, the colors. You know, we talk, Laverne was saying, you know, we got the primary colors. But how do we know there aren't colors we've never seen before? We think red, but there may be some other color out there that kind of looks like red, but it's really not red that we've never seen before. So the colors, the textures, the animals, the creatures, we've got hints of them, seraphim and cherubim. Laverne says, I don't want to see that thing with all the eyes. I said, he's going to wink at you. All 20 eyes. But we were having such a good time just thinking about our inevitable destiny. And you know, you add to that just how resplendent and magnificent New Jerusalem is going to be. I mean, it describes it in the scriptures, and it's just something. And then on top of that, you think about the bodies that we're going to have. They're going to be so different. They're not going to be clunky like these. These bodies are clunky. They really are. They're miracles, but they're clunky miracles here. You know, we were talking about, you know, space travel and how that's so marvelous to men and stuff. One of our studies, we were talking about how, you know, we think about traveling out in space and how amazing and marvelous and miraculous that is. And the Lord's looking at that saying, okay, well, you're trying to fly. I get it. You're strapping this fuel on to a little thing and lighting it. You see how silly it sounds? Doesn't it? And the Lord's like, okay, well, okay, I get what you're trying to do. But he is so far beyond that, he just shows up. So they're marveling over this whole idea of the resurrection. It says Jesus just appeared there. Ploop. They're standing on the mountain as Jesus is ascending into heaven. And he's speaking as he's ascending. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he's just rising up to heaven. No space suit. Doesn't need oxygen for where he's going. It's just, and when we get to heaven, I just don't think we're not going to be able to take it. You know, it's just going to be too much. That's our destiny. That's where you're going. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Jesus has already ensured that it's going to happen. You and I are going to be there. Maybe the Lord will be gracious enough to remind us that we had this conversation when we're there. But it's coming. But while we are here in this body, this is not party central. This is not the spot. This is not the time. There are joys that God gives us, but there are sorrows connected to this life. There are pleasures, but there is work to be done here. And this whole month we're talking about partnership with the Lord. That's what the theme is. And so what our heart's desire is to know him better, but we also want to be connected with him in doing what he is doing while the earth as it is remains as it is. Because it's not going to be this way forever, brothers and sisters. The way it is now is not the way it's always going to be. Right now, we have the opportunity to partner with him by faith here on this earth to accomplish his eternal purposes. And so, number one, the one who is with you is the one we want to seek to please in light of our glorious future that awaits us. You know, the Lord's love for us is unconditional. We don't have to earn it. He doesn't say, you know, I have forgiven you. And here are the conditions. So his forgiveness and his unconditional love doesn't come with a but it does come with a bonus. The bonus is you get to work with me. Amen. You see, no, you don't have to. It's free. But there's a bonus attached to this. And the bonus is you and I get to partner together. So my life is a partnership with the Lord. It's not an assignment. It's a partnership. We're working together. A partnership in the work of the eternal work that never becomes obsolete. Number two, the one who is with you can resurrect any situation. Thank you, Lord. I'm underlining that myself. The one who is with you can resurrect any situation. Verse 25, I am the resurrection. Where I am, there's always hope springing from hopelessness. Where I am, there are rivers in the wilderness. Where I am, there's a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Where I am, the impossible is possible. Where I am, there's no such thing as too late. I am the resurrection. When I show up, the status quo changes. When I show up, the future bends in another direction. When I show up, the obstacles melt. When I show up, the chasm is bridged. When I show up, things are different. Because I am the resurrection. We were talking in Sunday school today about how all of our yesterdays, every part of yesterday, is a substantial part of why we are where we are today. So when I look at my yesterdays and I look at the darkness and I look at the pain and the suffering, as well as the pleasures and the joys, all of it, every bit of it was necessary. Can I say that again? All of it was necessary to bring me to where I am today. That gives me hope that the one who is the resurrection is doing his thing right now, even in all of that which has not yet been cleared up for me. The one who is with you can resurrect any situation. Number three, the one who is with you cares about your care. I like what it says there in verse 35, the shortest verse in the scripture. Jesus wept. He cares. He's not callous towards the fact that it's difficult, even though he knows in the end what's going to happen. It's not like he looks at you and says, look, I'm going to fix this so dry up. He weeps when we weep. He cares for us. Cast all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. It says of the Israelites in the Psalms, it says, "And all their suffering He suffered." So even though He knew what was going to happen, He knew Lazarus was coming back, and He knew that their joy was going to be overwhelming when they saw their brother alive again. He still wept while they were in the process of seeing that miracle unfold. And so the one who is with me cares about how I am feeling in the process. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, you know that I am but dust. And you know that I don't always walk by faith. And you know that I don't always have it together. And you know I'm not always singing holy, holy, holy. And you know that my language isn't always pristine. And you know that I don't always treat people right. You know what I'm like when I'm grumpy and irritated. You know what I'm like when I'm out of sorts. Amen. You know what it's like when I can't see the light. Yeah. You know what it's like when I just feel oppressed and just ugly. As Sister Flamina said at the couples thing, when I can't stand myself. You know that. And you weep with me. Thank you, Jesus. You sit with me. What a precious gift. What a precious gift. You share my joys and my sorrows. I was thinking the other day, one of the neat things about hanging out with the Lord is and knowing that He's with me is I can tell Him the same old stories, and He never says, "You know what? How many times you gonna tell me that one? You gonna tell me that one again?" If it matters to me, it matters to Him. Ah, thank you, Jesus. And you know what? You're always with me. See, when everybody else leaves the room, you stay. Amen. No, everybody else can't stand it, you stay. When everybody else leaves the stage, you stay. Everybody else leaves me, you stay. And then number four, the one who is with you has a better idea. Just keep this in mind. I'm with you, and I have a better idea. The one who is with you has a better idea. Think of what we would have missed if Jesus had showed up and prevented Lazarus from dying. Which glory, which situation brought more glory to God? Which situation inspires us more? Jesus shows up, touches his head, he doesn't die, he gets up, and they live happily ever after. No, he dies. And Jesus shows up 4 days after he's been in the tomb and says, "Come out." I think that's a better idea. And I think that if you were to ask Martha, and I think if you were to ask Mary, what was the better idea? They would have said, "Well, before he came out, we thought that the better idea would have been for him to show up. We can't deny it. There it is." But looking at it as it is now, the better idea is that he didn't show up. We like that better. Because when he did show up, our heart said, "Hallelujah, you had a better idea." Can we say amen to that, some of us? Amen. Say, "Lord, you know, if I had had it my way, I would have done it this way on the front end. But on the other end of it," say, "that was a better idea." the one who is with us, when we recognize who he is. That's why I said it's the most important. Remember who's with you. The one who's with you always has a better idea. Take away the stone. He said, didn't I tell you if you believe, you'd see the glory of God even in this? I love the interaction that we had at Bible study a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Moses when Moses went down to deliver Egypt after really resisting the Lord's direction, and he went down and told Pharaoh that the Lord said, let my people go, and then it just got worse. You know, they said, you know, Pharaoh said, okay, you guys are lazy, and you got too much time on your hands, so now you're going to make bricks, but you're going to do it without straw. And so Moses, he's like completely blindsided by this. The Lord talked him into it, and then he goes down, and it gets worse. He comes and says, well, why did you send me in the first place? God, I told you I couldn't do this. I told you. You sent me anyway. So we were talking about this in Bible study, and the question was, what would you say to Moses if right in that moment he kind of wandered off into your tent and sat down and said, I tell you, let me tell you what just happened. What would you say to Moses? And Brother Don said, and I could see Don sitting there with his, you know, Bible clothes on, sitting there. And he said, he'd say to Moses, brother, I'll pray for you, but I'm better you than me. We looked over at my wife and said, what would you say? And she said, she'd just go. I don't know. But I think that if we took the totality of God's movement as we understand it, with the benefit, which Moses did not have, of the book that we hold in our hands today, and we have a picture of God's history, then we could say to Moses, God's got a better idea. No, it blew up. Yes, it did. But God's got a better idea. Hang in there, Mo. God's got a better idea. And sure enough, God had a better idea. The one who is with us has a better idea. I had so much more to say, but I ain't saying any more. I'm done. I am done. And I do want to tell you this, that, you know, sometimes when you hear stuff, I know when I read stuff, when the Lord speaks to my heart, sometimes I say, okay, I'm saturated, I'm ready. Where do I sign, Lord? And when can I get delivery? You know, I want to sign on the dotted line. I'm full. Okay, you got me. I'm convinced. I'm signing up. Where do I get delivery? I'm convinced. My heart responds to you. Here's something you can do. You know, I said that sometimes it's good for us to speak our status before the Lord. I said this a couple weeks ago. Just something to encourage you about being able to remember the one who is with you. It's good sometimes to just speak some affirmations of the Lord's presence. In accordance with his word, just speak the affirmations. That's what Jesus did right here in John 11. He said, I know you hear me. I know you always hear me. I knew you always hear me. So the Lord has given us this privilege of being able to appreciate his presence with us at all times, just as Jesus appreciated the presence of his Father. So here are some verse references. If you don't know where to start, speak the Lord's promises to you about his presence. Matthew 28:20. I am with you always. So you can say, Lord, I thank you that you are with me always. Just speak it. John 14, 16 through 18. John 14, 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. He will be with you, and he'll be in you. Isn't that great? John 14, 16 through. And in Hebrews 13, 5, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. So that's all I have to say, brothers and sisters. When we get to those places, particularly of insecurity and uncertainty, may God grant us just the grace. May God grant us the grace that at that point to remember the one who is with us. So we're going to have a amen.